My name is Ron. I know most of you, it's great to have you here. Isn't it good to be at Ford again? Woo! Me too. We've had 5 weeks without campers. We were getting on each other's nerves. So we're glad to have you here. Tonight we've got some exciting things happening. Let me read you about that. We all learn about the Christmas story from childhood by reading the Bible, going to church, and hearing messages about it. And from specials shown on TV, we are very familiar with the main characters like Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, and the angels. We often include the wise men and Herod the Great in the story. Yes, it's a well-known story. This getaway, we are going to learn about the Christmas story from three different biblical characters who are seldom associated with the story, but in fact play a very important role in the Advent. You will meet each one individually, and he will tell you himself how he fits in to the Christmas story. So sit back and enjoy the three who foretold Christmas. So, the first man we will meet, Daddy. All right. The first man we will meet in the three who foretold Christmas is a person who lived 700 years before the birth of Jesus. His name is Isaiah. Isaiah. Let's listen to this familiar biblical character as he tells us what he wrote about Christmas and the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Isaiah, are you here? Isaiah.
Shalom. That means peace. It's a greeting. Shalom. You're all speaking Hebrew. Yes, I am Isaiah. I'm a prophet, and as was said, I lived 700 years before the first Christmas. That's a long time. You should look as good at 700. But I had a wonderful life, and what I did, well, first of all, let me tell you, my name. My name means the Lord saves. So it was so important for God to use me. And he used me to write down prophecies about the coming Messiah. I am going to share. My time is short, but I will share with you a few of these here tonight so that you will understand about the Messiah. But first, a little about me. So, as I said, I am Isaiah. I was a prophet of God. I was born there in Israel, and I lived there my whole life. And during this time, I went to the best schools in the whole land. I had the best education anyone in our country could have, taught by the best teachers. I was one of the most educated people in the entire country. And because of that, I was advisor to many kings. I was the advisor to King Jotham. He was a good king. Then I was the advisor to King Ahaz. He hardly listened to anything I would ever say. He was not a nice guy. And then I was the king Hezekiah's guide and friend. And he listened frequently to what I would say because I spent a lot of time with prayer with God. And God spoke to me. Hezekiah knew this. But you know, there are some strange things about me too. Maybe you do not know. You see, God sometimes has us do some very strange things. He does. But for instance, in my life, do you know what God had me do? He had me walk around for 3 years in my underwear. It's true. 3 years walking around in my underwear, working as a prophet of God in my underwear. When I tell you, when it was winter, things got mighty cold. But why would God do such a thing? Well, part of the reason, there are different reasons, but one, God wanted me to be humble. With my education, it was very easy for me to get very proud. God does not like proud people. No, pride does not go with God. So, to humble me, he had me walk around for 3 years in just my underwear. It was not a pretty sight, I'm sure. But that's what God does. You see, God will sometimes take us out of our comfort zones so that we can serve him in the way he wants. That's a very important lesson. But there's more to the story about me. As I say, I was a counselor to kings. I was also a prophet of God. And God allowed me, as a prophet, to write things down in a book. He gave me visions where I could see things. And he told me to write these things down so that the Jews later on would be able to see and understand and read what God had told me. So, I was a prophet. Yes, I was a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. And you can read my book. It bears my name. It's in the Old Testament. And in that, there are many things I wrote about the Messiah. And I know maybe some of you know the very familiar passages. One of my favorite passages, it helps if you turn these things on. You know, we didn't have this 700 years ago. But there we go. Now, one of my favorite things that God told me to write was this. In Isaiah, my book, chapter 7, the 14th verse that we have, it says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." You probably hear this at Christmas, no? You hear these verses, yes, because this is a promise from God. God is telling us who the Messiah is going to be. God gave me the privilege of writing down who the Messiah would be. Because notice it says, the Lord himself, not some king, not some ruler, not some prince, the Lord himself will give us a sign. And what is the sign? It says, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. A virgin will bear a son. This is not something that happens. This is a miracle. I am describing a miracle that God will use. A virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel. El is a short version of the name of God. Emmanuel means to be with. God with us. That's what this is. So God was telling me to write to the people who this Messiah, when he comes, would be. It will not be an ordinary man. It would not be a man being born of a husband and wife as a normal condition. No, no, this was different. It was coming from God himself, and it would be God who is being born. But there's another verse that I also, this verse here was also used by the angel Gabriel. When Joseph and Mary were together 700 years after I was born, remember these, 700 years. But when Joseph found out that Mary, his betrothed, was pregnant, he was going to divorce her. Remember this part of the Christmas story? Yes? And the angel Gabriel appeared to him and said, basically taking part of my prophecy, that she would bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So what I got to write was used even by, part of it, by the angel Gabriel in the Christmas story. But let me show you another, and this one is my favorite description of the Messiah. In the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." That last part is so important. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Pele Yaetz, El Gibor, Abidad, Sar Shalom. Magnificent, wonderful description of who this Messiah is. I am telling you, and I was writing to all the Jews, who is the Messiah? Notice it says, Wonderful Counselor. The Messiah would be the one who will guide us, who will teach us, Later on, when he does come, his disciples and others, they wrote about him, his sayings, and they are counseling to us today. He does guide us. He is the perfect, wonderful counselor, but he is also mighty God. Now, some today, I know, in your time period, try to say that this Messiah, this Jesus, was not really all God. He was maybe a lesser God, or he was a mini God, or he was a man who became a God, or he was an angel that became a God. These are all wrong. For note what I was writing and what God gave me. God told me this. The Messiah would be mighty God, El Gabor. That is the Almighty God, the Creator God. That is the God that we worship, the true God, the true God, totally God, not a lesser God. It would be the mighty God. Jesus is the mighty God, not some lesser God, the mighty God. And he would be born of a woman, and he would be the everlasting Father. Note the word everlasting. Who is everlasting? Are you everlasting? No. Are you everlasting? No. All of us in here, there was all a time you did not exist. There was a time I did not exist. This is the eternal Father, the eternal God. People who say that Jesus is not truly all God, they are so wrong, because it says here, everlasting, eternal God. That's who this is. The Messiah is totally God, totally human too. No one understands this, but he is totally God, the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. Do you know what this means? This is not peace like the world thinks of peace. No. This is different. You see, because every single one of us have all done something wrong against God, we are born as enemies of God. But God loves us so much that he wants us to be part of his family. So, the Messiah comes to restore us to God, and we can have peace with the Almighty God. He would give us peace that no one else can give. We now can have peace with God, not separated from God, not an enemy of God, but a member of his family, and we can be at peace with God because of the Messiah. Oh, there are so many things I wish I could tell you, but we're nearly out of time. I must go, but let me just point out a couple things before I leave. I wrote many things. God showed me many things about the Messiah, but I also was told, how would the Jews recognize him? Because he's going to be born, he will be a man, he will look like any other Jew. How would you recognize the Messiah when he come? So God had me write these down in the book. And in the 29th chapter, the 18th verse, I write, in that day, this is talking about when Messiah come. In that day, the deaf will hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. Do you see two things very strange happening here? People who are deaf, who cannot hear, the Messiah will fix this. They will be able to hear. People who are blind, born blind, will be given sight. Do you see? These are descriptions of how you will recognize Messiah. Or here's another. In the 35th chapter, the 5th and 6th verse, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Four ways you will know the Messiah. mute people, people who could not speak, the Messiah will heal them and they can speak. The lame, people who are sick, who are injured, who are hurting, who are ill, with all sorts of diseases, will be healed by the Messiah. And they will leap with joy. He will cleanse lepers. People who are deaf and cannot hear, he will fix that and heal them, and they will be able to hear. And the eyes of the blind shall be open. Now, let me teach you. Oh, my time is almost gone. Let me teach you one very important thing. In the Old Testament, there are many, many prophets of God who did amazing miracles. Moses speaks to a rock, water comes out. He talks to the sky, manna falls. He calls on the plagues of Egypt. Of course, this is all done by God's power. God had some prophets do amazing things. Raise an axe to float on water. Heal waters. Divide waters so people could walk across. Do you know there were even two prophets that raised the dead back to life? Does anyone remember who they were? Yes. Not Peter, but thank you for trying. I appreciate it. Someone? I thought I heard it over here. Elisha and Elijah. Both of them, Old Testament prophets, brought people back to life. But they were just human. This Messiah will do something different. Oh, he can do that, and he would. But this would be different. No one in the Old Testament, no prophet of God, no one ever made a person who was born blind be able to see. The only person who could ever do that to us Jews would have to be the Messiah. And I even say this again, the eyes of the blind shall be open. The Messiah will do it. And when you see, I'm telling the Jews, when you see a man do these miracles, that is the Messiah, the Son of God. Well, my time is gone. I wish I could tell you more. I wrote so many wonderful things about the Messiah in my book. Maybe some of you parents and maybe grandparents, tonight, before you go to bed, open up the 53rd chapter of my book, and you will see an amazing vision that God gave me concerning how the Messiah would suffer for us. Well, I feel I must go, but I hope you have seen who the Messiah is and how he could be recognized. That was my contribution to the Christmas story. So I hope you understand the peace that you can have with God also. I bid you shalom.